As we get ready to close out 1 year and welcome in a new one on Central Standard Friday, we'll go back a few years, quite a few years, on this edition of the Food Critic Show to recall dining rooms of days gone by. Let's see if these names evoke any memories. King Joy Low, Breton's, The Wishbone, The Colony Steakhouse, Earl's Hamburgers, and Washington Street Station. Then there are the vanished restaurants of more recent vintage. Alice Wong's, Po' Folks, Forks in the Air, Piccadilly Cafeteria, and the celebrated Athena on Broadway, a restaurant where I was personally fired 6 times and still hired back 5 years later to wait tables. Joining us this hour will be our special guest, Central Standard Friday's resident historian, Monroe Dodd, to help us remember restaurants from another time and place. What restaurants do you wish were still around? Which ones do you miss but wish you could have visited? Your opinions and memories are always welcome by calling 235-2888, 235-2888, or you can send us an email to centralstandard@kcor.org. Monroe and I are joined by two lovely food critics, Gloria Gale from 435, South Magazine, and Mary Block. And Mary, because you have such a fascinating venue for your writing, why don't you tell us where you could be found?
I can be found at Around the Block, my blog at aroundtheblockkc.com, also on Facebook, and I compile the restaurant guide for the Kansas City Star.
Great. And our producer today Maria Carter, who I just found out her connection to the restaurant business is through her father, who used to work at Dinkeldorf's, which may be one of the restaurants we're going to be talking about this hour. But first, let's do what we always do, which is talk about new and exciting places you've been to. And Gloria, let's kick off with you.
Okay. Well, I went to Smokey's on the Boulevard, which is neither on College nor
Southwest.
And so that was the...
What is the address?
Immediately, I went, why? 14521 Metcalf, which is fairly far south. This is owned by Rob Harris and his son Jason and his wife Mindy. And it is delicious. It's barbecue, but it's delicious. It's a hole in the wall. It's in a strip center. You have to look for it, but it's quite good. I had a number of things, so it was delicious. And then I went to the regulars that I not regular that I frequent, but I did go to Capital Grill, which was fabulous. And also went to Rye, the soft opening at Rye, but now they're open. And
Let's tell our listeners where Rye is.
Rye is in Mission Farms. It just opened. It's Colby and Megan Gerlitz's new place. It's down home country food.
Fried chicken?
Fried chicken and shrimp and grits and brisket. And
what did they serve at the soft opening?
Well, I had the shrimp and grits, and it was unbelievably good. Unbelievably good.
Now, it took over the space formerly occupied by Lakeside Tavern.
That's correct. And then there was
a Mexican place.
And numbers of other things there.
Boudreaux's was how it started.
Oh, yeah,
right,
Boudreaux's,
that's the name. Thank you. And it was very, very good. And so was Westport Cafe. I had brunch there. I took my daughter. It was delicious.
That's one of my favorite places for brunch.
Yeah. And then I just keep eating out. So
you look divine.
Thank you.
And Mary?
Well, I had not gone to a lot of new places this month because I was busy taking out-of-towners to favorite old places. But yesterday I went to Latin Bistro Express, which is Chef Tito's fast casual place on.
Now, I understand he's already changed the hours, that it's only open for lunch.
It's only open for lunch. First of all, it's at 1708 West 39th Street, ironically right across from Chipotle. and it's only open from 10:30 to 2. Now, Chef Tito has a full-service restaurant in Gladstone called Latin Bistro.
Which is great.
It is very good. Chef Tito was there yesterday when I went. The food itself was good. You could do tacos or burritos. I would have liked if there was hot sauce on the table or if they gave you salsa to go with. It was all a little bland. You had to pay 99 cents to get salsa.
Sacre cœur.
I know. And the rice and beans were pretty bland. But the pork with salsa verde was quite good, and the tamales were fine. They have $5.95 taco specials at lunch. So I think they get a lot of people from the KU Med Center.
Yeah.
But my favorite dish of the last month were two octopus dishes that I had. One at Michael Smith, which was an octopus with chorizo stuffed rigatoni that was fabulous.
Wow.
And then the other was at Story. And, of course, Carl learned.
Of course.
He was under Michael Smith for years, and he has a fabulous octopus dish right now as well.
Were they crowded?
Both were very crowded.
Good.
Yep.
So Story is in the Prairie Village Shopping Center. Mm-hmm. Latin Bistro Express is at 1708 West 39th Street. And Smokies on the Boulevard is 14521 Metcalf. Is that correct? Mm-hmm.
And Michael Smith is at 20th and Main. 19th and Main.
Very good.
19th, sorry.
And I suppose everyone here has made their New Year's reservations?
Resolutions.
It's funny. I've made my resolutions, not my reservations.
Right.
Monroe, do you go out for New Year's?
Not much anymore.
We're in bed by 9.
It's funny.
Advancing age has curbed my reservations and increased my resolutions, I think.
I'm with you there. I don't go out for New Year's anymore because, you know, I worked in restaurants every New Year's Eve from the time I was 14 years old until I was, over 30. And it is I call it amateur night in Dixie. Expectations are too high.
It's like going out for Valentine's Day.
Worse. Because at Valentine's Day, people don't really, expect to get drunk. New Year's Eve, it's a different story.
I guess that's true.
We are taking your phone calls at 816-235-2888. We are going to be talking about historic Kansas City restaurants, which is why we're lucky enough to have Monroe Dodd with us. And Monroe, you just did was it last week you did something on historic department stores and things, holiday shopping?
Oh, we did a lot. We did a thing on retailing and what it means to the retailer over the holidays, right?
I bet. And that reminds me that that's probably a good segue to say that, department stores used to have good restaurants, really good restaurants.
Yeah.
I mean, I certainly grew up eating in tea rooms when the L.S. Ayres department store in Indianapolis was still a going concern. But I remember eating as recently as the 1980s. I remember eating at Sticks Bear Fuller in Ward Parkway. They had a nice restaurant, I thought.
Nordstrom's has a great little restaurant.
I think they're the last of a dying breed.
Yeah. Well, so are the department stores, unfortunately.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Well, I guess you can still get a snack at Target.
I remember going to Marshall Fields in Chicago. And they had a great cafe.
They did have a great cafe.
Well, didn't EBT have a wonderful...
They had a tea room at Emery Bird there, and that's what's quoted, of course, in the EBT or attempted to be restaurant on 3rd Street.
EBT sort of, or Emery Bird there, I should say.
Emery Bird there.
As the times changed, their food service changed with it because I think at one point they had a little cafeteria called the Tray Shop, which is a lot of department stores did that sort of thing. Someone has told me that Macy's downtown had not one but two restaurants.
Well, I remember the Jones Store and their room for lunch. It wasn't anything special, but I don't know about Macy's. Yeah. I don't know.
One of the department stores in my hometown of Indianapolis, no, this was not during my lifetime that I remember, but I believe in the 40s and 50s, they had two restaurants. One was only for men to eat in.
Oh,
can you imagine that today? Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
We are starting to get phone calls at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Let's go to Rose in Kansas City, Missouri. Rose. Rose?
The Rose is... Past the bloom.
Rose, you're going to feel free to call back 816-235-2888 or send us an email to centralstandard@kcor.org. The oldest restaurant still operating in Kansas City is, I believe, the Savoy Grill.
I believe so.
And it opened after the hotel did, Monroe, did it not?
Yes, in 1903, I believe.
Yeah.
As I recall, when the hotel was expanded, it included this grill that just never stopped.
Walt Bodine, if he was here with us right now, would say that, and I found out going through the city directories and some newspaper archives, that he was correct that it was not continuously operating since 1903 because during the Depression it stopped serving for about 6 months.
Oh.
Why? No one seems to know. Let's go to Joe in South Kansas City. Joe, are you with us?
Yes.
Great. What restaurant do you
think? Program. I just want to recall some of the restaurants were around when I first came to Kansas City. Of course, I remember Pooch's on the Plaza.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was the place on Troost. The Carousel was on Troost.
Now, where on Troost was the Carousel?
The Carousel was in a around about 55th and Troost in that area.
Okay.
And also, there was a nice restaurant in the Jones Store downtown at 12th and Main.
Did that restaurant have a name, Joe?
No, I don't. I just know that it was very crowded during the lunch hour. Many, you know, people who work downtown, you almost couldn't get a seat when you went there.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, is the building where the Carousel restaurant had been, is it still standing? Because there is a building I know on Troost, because I live near there, that was once the Black Angus Steakhouse, which was a very famous steakhouse in its day.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, the building where the Carousel operated is still there. And the last one that I recall was a restaurant in the neighborhood of 12th and Main also. It was a cafeteria. And I don't know if it was, seemed like everything in there was colored green or something.
It was the Green Mill.
Cafeteria? Or was
I think it was a cafeteria, I think. But somebody's going to know.
Wasn't the Myron Green cafeteria?
And the Myron Green,
that's what it was.
Yeah, Myron Green.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Now, do you remember the Myron Green?
I remember walking past it right now. Not from haughtiness, simply because I didn't go in.
All right. Wow. Hey, our switchboard's filling up. Joe, thank you so much for that phone call. And let's go to, is it Raj in Leawood?
Yes. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just recently went, I bet you guys have talked about it, was the Rieger or Rieger?
Rieger Hotel.
Rieger, and we had a business dinner there, and it was just outstanding. I had a quiche, and my partner had, actually I forgot what he had, but I just thought it was an outstanding restaurant and really good quality. I wanted to hear comments about the history of the restaurant.
Sure.
Yeah.
We'll take this off the air. When I was writing about the Rieger Monroe, I could not find in the city directories any indication that prior to, you know, more recent vintage, that there had ever been a restaurant in the Rieger Hotel. You know, it's the Rieger, what is the full name of it? The Rieger Exchange.
Hotel Rieger,
Rieger
and
Hotel
Grill,
Exchange and Grill. That had been the lobby, and there may or may not have been a bar in it at one point. But I couldn't find any indication that there had ever been a restaurant in there. I mean, it was an awfully small hotel.
I know of none either, but I remember on the side of that building, I believe, it said Anderson Photography, which was a long, decades-long special photographer here. And I don't know whether he simply advertised there or had an office or had a studio in there.
Well, when I was researching, and I thought that the guy who owned it initially, I don't know if it was Mr. Rieger or not, but there was something to do with whiskey. There was something that was part of the...
Right, right.
Yeah. You know, 1924 Main, of course, was there right before the current restaurant. But
right.
It was the first restaurant, I guess, to go in there.
Well, when the Rieger family built that hotel, I believe, in what, 1914? I could have that date wrong. But it was a drummer hotel for traveling salesmen.
Right.
And there are plenty of places to eat up and down that street. But they built it with the money they made on the whiskey.
Yeah.
And with Union Station's proximity.
Yes.
There were a lot of travelers in World War I. In fact, there was a ban on alcohol serving because it was so popular from doughboys who were going to eat to the east. Ernest Hemingway even mentions that the whole strip along there, along the bridge, when he covered Union Station, when he was here in the late teens, at the beginning of World War I, that you can just imagine that the Rieger would have been a part of that.
Right. Absolutely.
Well, and how ironic now there's a speakeasy in the basement manifesto.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's go to Bob. Hold on. Oh. Let me do this. Let's go to Bob in Kansas City, Missouri.
Bob. Oh, hi. Hey, I wanted to mention a couple of restaurants from when I was growing up. Actually, the first job I ever had was at Bay's Dining Room, and his brother had that was at 95th and Mission. He had started about a year or two after his brother had opened up one of, I think, the earliest Mexican restaurants. This was probably about the mid-60s.
And would you tell, Bob, would you tell us the name of the restaurant again? It sort of got blipped out.
Oh, I'm sorry. Jose's Dining, Jose's Mexican Restaurant. That was at 95th and Mission. This was in the late 60s. I think he opened in about 68 or 69. And his brother started at a place called the Shutter Inn right by the creek at 103rd and State Line.
Uh-huh.
And across the street was, I think, the original, one of the Jess and Jim's. I think they moved south. But one of my favorite restaurants was on the other side. I believe it was on the other side of the creek, Sam Wilson's.
Oh, yeah.
It was an original Gilbert Robertson mm-hmm. deal, and my favorite thing about it was that they had a great salad bar.
Yeah.
And that salad bar apparently was legendary.
Right.
Yeah, it really was. And then one other thing, I know we're talking about old places. There's a market on Kansas called San Antonio where I just got tamales for Christmas tamales.
Uh-huh.
And it's really great. It's a couple blocks east of Ninfa, which is at 10th in Kansas.
Yep.
But it's called the Market San Antonio, and you can get anything Mexican there. But I thought I'd mention all
hey,
that.
Hey, thank you, Bob. Those are great, great suggestions.
A lot of people get fresh tortillas from there.
Really?
Yeah. You and could, I think Port Fonda and maybe the Westport Street Fair get their tortillas there.
You could
as
also
well.
Get fabulous, and I mean fabulous, fresh tortillas at Ninfa's, which is on the same street. Let's go to we've got a full switchboard, but you're still free to call in at 816-235-2888. And let's go to Bill in Mission.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Good. I was sitting here listening to your show, and I all of a sudden I remembered a restaurant I used to love as a kid, and it was called Smacks.
Oh, yeah.
Was that a drive-in?
No. It's a little hamburger joint, at least. The one that I went to, I don't remember. Of course, I wasn't driving at the time. I was still on a bike.
Well, do you recall the character on their TV ads?
I don't.
Well, it was the aptly named Smacky from Smacks.
Smacky.
This I recall.
Was it a character, like a dog?
It was some kind of a cartoonish thing. Perhaps our listeners can help us, but I remember the name was Smacky.
Maybe it was a seal.
Maybe so.
Oh, yeah, because they smack their fins together. Thank you. The strangest things are coming up. We have an email here from Roberto. He writes, back in the 1960s, my grandfather would take us to lunch at Allen's Drive-In on State Line. He'd get us the root beer tub. That sounds amazing. Which was an extremely large cup of soda. We also ate at the counter in Woolworths mm-hmm. in Ward Parkway Shopping Center.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. My friend Queen Bey, who's a jazz singer,
right.
who now lives in California, but when she used to live here, when we'd go downtown to eat somewhere, we would pass where the Woolworths had been downtown, and she said, I would love to have one of their chili dogs right now.
You know, the Woolworths in Santa Fe has the original Frito pie, and it's still there.
I remember that. Yeah,
let's
I remember
go
that.
To Phil in Lawrence. Phil.
Hi there. I ate at many of the restaurants in Kansas City that you mentioned and worked at Union Station for Fred Harvey and at the Wishbone, but the one I want to talk about here in Lawrence of blessed memory is the Paradise Cafe.
Oh, it was delicious. I loved it.
It was their artichoke chicken or chicken fried chicken, blackened yeah. red snapper. They had fabulous soups, Douglas County pie.
Now, what's a Douglas County pie?
It was a chocolate-based oh, yeah. pecan pie.
Oh, gosh.
Ridiculously rich, but wonderful. They also had Douglas County Coffee, which was a liquor drink that had those kind of same ingredients. But,
so when did the Paradise Cafe close? What, about 10 years ago, maybe?
I mean, it changed hands and kind of wasn't the same as it was. But it, in its heyday, it was probably the best restaurant I've ever been in.
Wow, that's great. That's another one we all miss. Okay, well, thank you, Phil. And let's go to John. John downtown.
Yeah.
What do you want to tell us, John?
Well, you were talking about Macy's downtown, and I can remember going there. And the thing they had that was terrific was prime rib.
Prime rib.
You could have it for lunch.
Wow.
And they had a guy that sliced it while you watched him and laid it on your plate with the mashed potatoes and gravy.
Can you imagine them doing that today at Target? Would that be a dream come true, at least for me?
There you go.
Now, was that Macy's restaurant open for lunch and dinner, or was it a lunch-only restaurant?
You know, I believe it was lunch only because I only went there for lunch because I'd be coming downtown to work. And that's when we'd go there. We'd go to the Mühlbach Grocery.
Right, right.
The Jones Store. There were lots of places downtown to eat.
That's
in stores.
Wow. Those were the days. Well, I'm going to personally start a campaign to bring prime rib to Target. let's go to Jim. Jim in Kansas City, Missouri.
Yeah, it's a blind guy from the Villa Incognito in Midtown.
Hello, Jim.
Yes. Now, we remember one of the places down in the Jones Store was called the Hawthorne Room, I remember.
Okay.
And then we got Sydney's on Broadway.
Oh, yeah.
And the old Meyer House, but the original Meyer House was over on Armour. But let's start a campaign, since Mitt Romney's a loser, to bring back the Gold Buffet. Foster Brooks would be politically incorrect, but Marie Osmond could belt out that insipid song, Paper Roses.
Do you know?
Hey, peace out.
Oh. We're ready to take a break, but I want to say that the Gold Buffet is one of the restaurants. It was still around when I moved here, but I never went.
Oh, my.
I know. How was it? Did you go?
I'm sure. I'm sure I did.
I want to know about the Gold Buffet. Well, we'll be taking a break soon, and we'll be taking your phone calls at 816-235-2888. And you are back on the air with us on Central Standard Friday. I'm Charles Ferruzzo. I neglected to mention who the heck I am. I write for The Pitch, and The Pitch is a food blog, which is Fat City, which you can find at pitch.com. I'm here with Gloria Gale from 435 South Magazine, Mary Block from Around the Block blog, and our special guest, Monroe Dodd, who you can hear every third Friday, I believe, on this very show.
Fourth
Friday. Monroe, we were talking at the break about why Troost and Prospect were such popular restaurant destination streets, and I'm assuming it was because it was a streetcar street. Right?
Troost had two-way streetcars going north and south constantly. It was a very big business street. The 31st and Troost area with the Isis Theater, which Walt Bodine could remember if he were here with us today in the studio. It had a Southtown Businessmen's Association that was just a hub of activity along Troost in the 20s and 30s and 40s that extended on south as the suburbs built on south.
You know, speaking of Walt Bodine, just around the corner from the Isis Theater was the Bodine Drugstore in the now long, long, long gone Hotel Ormond. And Walt used to say that not only could people eat at the counter at Bodine's Drugstore, but they could go upstairs and have a fancier meal in the Hotel Ormond dining room.
Yeah.
Those were the days. Speaking of Troost, Gloria, you had some thoughts about
that
street.
Yeah, I did. I grew up right there. And in the 50s and 60s, I'm sure that this will kind of tweak a lot of people's memories, there was, starting at 75th, there was the Dairy Delight, the Burger Delight. Across the street from that was a drugstore that had a soda fountain that I can remember. You could get strawberry chocolate and vanilla Cokes.
Where was that drugstore?
Right across the street from Dairy Delight at 75th and Troost.
Okay.
And then you went up a little ways and you got Wimpy's and the Y restaurant. I don't know if anybody remembers the Y, but that was one of the first places you could get fried chicken with honey and biscuits and all kinds of stuff. That was a long time ago. That was one of the first memories of a sit-down restaurant that I can recall.
The Y. Not to be confused with the YMCA.
No. And Wimpy's had the best hamburgers on the planet.
We have a full switchboard. We're going to try to get to everybody here. Let's go to Steve in Overland Park. Steve.
Oh, no, Steve.
He was going to talk about the cheese Frenchie sandwich at King's, which that was a chain. I remember that sandwich from my own childhood.
Yeah.
Let's go to Mark in Overland Park.
Hey, Charles, how you doing?
Good. How are you, Mark?
Great. Hey, the Trail House on the plaza on the corner there.
Right.
They had the best prime rib, and my dad used to take me in there, and they'd slice it at the table. It was so great.
Now, is that where Plaza 3 is now?
No, it's where Restoration Hardware is now.
Right. Okay. And the show is right next door.
Next to the Plaza Theater.
Yeah.
And what made – now, was the Trail House a steakhouse?
Well, it had these wonderful cattle drive murals on the walls, and I remember my dad would take me there. We'd go as a family, and one time it was election day, and he couldn't get a drink until 7 o'clock. And I remember the blue laws back then. But the prime rib – I went to the Chop House the other night and had a piece of prime rib, and it just brought all those memories back of the – garlic and salt crusted roast beef prime rib there.
That's great. Okay, the Trail House, a famous Plaza restaurant. Hey, thank you, Mark. Let's go to Darcy in Kansas City, Kansas.
Oh, good morning, everybody. How are you?
Good morning, Darcy.
Uh-oh.
When my husband and I got married and first moved to town, we lived in South Kansas City. And there was this place at 71 Highway and Blue Ridge, right by Truman Corners, called Harry Keith's.
Harry Keith's.
Yes, the atmosphere was great. They had like, it was kind of like a carnival. They had the fine vibe plants suspended from the ceiling and different colored umbrellas and the old coin machines and stuff. It was so cool. The food was great, but the atmosphere was better.
What years are you talking about?
This is early 80s, early mid 80s.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, it just pooped. You know, we were going to go down there after we moved up here to KCK, and it was closed. We were devastated, truly devastated. Does anybody here know what happened to Harry Keith's? And I'll take my answer off the air. This is another great show. Thank you so much.
I think she may have to wait until a caller calls in to tell us, because I've heard stories about Harry Keith's, and for some reason, I'm probably wrong, I seem to remember it being a Gilbert Robinson concept, but
that
maybe I'm
be.
Wrong. A friend of mine who may be listening can call in, and he's sort of a Gilbert Robinson expert. I want to say that Dell wrote in, sent us an email to centralstandard@kcor.org. Growing up in a small rural town, we thought it was a treat to go to Arthur Treacher's Fish and Chips. And for a sweet treat, we'd go over to Allen's Dairy at 23rd and Van Brunt for ice cream.
Mm.
Do you remember that, Gloria?
Mm-mm.
I do remember Arthur Treacher's.
Oh, yeah, Arthur Treacher's, definitely, yeah. But not...
It was sort of a Long John Silver of its day.
Right. But, you know, out on 71, there was something called, I think it was called the Copper Kettle. Does that ring a bell? Mm-mm. That was a long time ago. I don't know if it piques anybody's interest.
Let's go to Bill in Kansas City, Missouri. Bill.
Hi. Back in the 1940s, we lived in a rural town, and my mom would come up shopping on the train. And I don't really remember the food, but at Kresge's, we would have lunch, and it was just the sounds of the, you know, the bustle and the silverware and cups. And to a small-town kid, my God, that was exciting.
Yeah. Listen, eating in a drugstore or a place like Woolworths or Kresge's was always exciting
yeah.
to me. Yeah.
Well, sure.
It was called the Dime Store, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Hey, thank you, Bill. If I remember,
God,
also,
that's a long time ago.
We didn't eat at the counter very often in my childhood, but what I mostly remember is my father was allowed to light up a cigar. Claudia sent us an email at centralstandard@kcor.org with a question. So, and I know the answer, but I'm going to see how many people here know it. What was the name of the mining-themed restaurant on the hill close to I-35 in Cambridge Circle?
Baby Doe's. Matchless Mine.
Yes.
You know, that should be on my list of restaurants that I wish were still around.
I know.
I never got a chance to eat at Baby Doe's.
I didn't either.
I think the ground was collapsing
yes,
from under it, wasn't
exactly.
it?
Yes, exactly.
Those were the days.
Those were the days.
Let's go to John in Kansas City, Missouri.
Yes. I thought the Wishbone restaurant down on Main Street just to the east of the plaza was a pretty good place back in the 60s and the 70s. It had been there many years before that. I know that the Wishbone sold their dressings to Kraft. So when you go to the grocery store and you buy Wishbone dressings, they started there.
That's right. Mm. That's a piece of Kansas City culinary history, although I think they sold the recipe originally to Lipton. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's go to... We're getting a lot of calls.
Mm-hmm.
Although, I want to read this email. It answers some questions here. Ben writes, the Macy's store downtown had two restaurants, the Garden Tea Room and the Royal Room.
Mm-hmm.
I used to eat at the Garden Tea Room when I worked downtown in the mid-70s. Where is that Garden Room now that we need?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Mike in Raymore.
Yes, I had mentioned two when I called in, but I actually have four. We were talking about restaurants on Troost, and I remember the leather bottle.
That in the Landing Shopping Center.
Mm-hmm. That was it when I was in college. Great salad bar. First place under 21, I was able to talk them into giving me a drink.
That was like the start of all the salad bar restaurants, like Cork and Cleaver and Smuggler's Inn. And
they were named because their menu was on a leather bottle.
That was,
bring
back those gimmicks, I say.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Matus bottle, or was that Cork and Cleaver that had the Matus bottle?
It was Matus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the first place I ever drank Matus. Okay. I think the last, too. What are your other restaurants, Mike, that you want to throw out?
Well, the Casa de Montez was the first Mexican restaurant I ever ate in. I don't remember where it was because it would have been early 60s before I was even driving.
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, and you can correct me, listeners, if you... I thought the Casa de Montez was in Kansas City, Kansas, on Miriam Lane. A friend of mine told me that. He has great memories of that place. And we'll find out. Any other restaurants you want to...
Yes, an old dive that hasn't been gone that long, Agno's over on 12th Street.
Agno's?
It was a walk-up restaurant. They served pig snoot sandwiches along with... many other interesting items. And probably my oldest favorite was the Log Cabin down on Old 71 Highway at about 103rd Street. They had excellent steaks that they got from St. Joe. It was also a tavern, and it was originally a Pony Express way station.
Hmm.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, the old Log Cabin. That's another great memory. Yeah. Hey, thank you. Mike dropped us a line to let us know the Copper Kettle was at 50 Highway and 63rd in a Holiday Inn that later burned down. Didn't you have something to do with that fire, Gloria?
Probably. Don't tell.
Let's go to Cher in Kansas City. I hope this is the real Cher.
Real Cher.
Yeah. Cher.
Hey, hello, everyone. Happy New Year. What a great way to remember.
I think it is.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember the name of the restaurant, and this will be an easy one, but my poor failing memory, that was in the Union Station with the fabulous buffet, closed down, I think, in the 90s.
Well, are we talking about the Westport Room, formerly the Fred Harvey restaurant?
No, we're
Fred
talking about...
Lobster Pot?
No, I think you're talking about the Lobster Pot.
The Lobster Pot, I'm sorry, yes.
It was the Lobster Pot. It wasn't Fred Harvey, but it was the Lobster Pot.
Which
and that moved, and then I think died or something.
It actually moved three different places after Union Station, and I confess that I actually loved that buffet. I wish it was still here right now.
I know. That was the best. And I just have to give a shout-out to Myron Green's cinnamon rolls. That was the thing for Myron Green. Did people flock there from everywhere for their great cinnamon rolls. So, and last, the Hitching Post, which burned down. It was a place on Prospect, I believe, and it was the only place in town where I could find and dare to eat chitlings.
If
you know of anywhere in town right now where you would dare to eat chitlings, please share.
All right. Thank you, Cher. I can't imagine Cher after a recording session eating chitlins, but maybe. The last place I had chitlins was Three Friends on Prospect. You have to be in the right mood for those. Mm-hmm.
Charles, I have to mention, an earlier caller referred to underage drinking, which in the late 1960s, as I date myself, was entirely possible, which is why I have a very fond memory of the Pooch's Sidewalk Cafe right there in the Country Club Plaza where I had my first martini. Delightful.
How old were you?
19.
Well, you were close enough.
My husband said he loved going to Pooch's 210. It was such a treat for his family when they would go out.
Right.
I heard it was. You know who used to work there as a waitress? Lou Jane Temple.
Oh, is that right?
Legendary Lou Jane Temple.
It was really good.
Well, and I loved Fedora's, which was there afterwards.
Right.
We used to go there and have the tartufo for our anniversary. Mm. Whether we ate dinner there or not, that dessert was fabulous.
When I moved to Kansas City, Fedora was the hottest restaurant in Kansas City. It was a Gilbert Robinson restaurant. Let's go to Mary in Midtown. Mary. Mm-hmm. Well, Mary was actually going to mention probably one of the greatest restaurants in Kansas City. Very, very dearly missed the prospect of mm-hmm. Westport.
That was definitely. On my list. I still miss that.
The carrot cake.
I'm trying to think what is in that space now.
Harpo's.
Harpo's. Well, it's not the prospect.
Yeah.
No.
It was great. Let's go to David in Mission.
Hello.
Hello, David.
Hey, I was one of the opening waiters at Fedora. That was the place to be.
Yeah. I bet you made a lot of money in those days.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you did. You sure did. You know, I wanted to just mention, like, Griff's Drive-In. I don't know if anybody remembers that. The Blackfoot yes. Tree Inn. Up north of the river, Dulcie's Highland Manor. Uh-huh. Rembrandt's, which was on the old Bill Allen farm. I grew up playing on that farm, and then they tore down the building and built Rembrandt's. It was a big, they had weddings there a lot.
Oh, I do remember Rembrandt's. Yeah, and it was sort of very upscale. That also reminded me of remember Remington's mm-hmm. in the old, what was that hotel?
Right. Now, I have a question. What, and my folks used to go to Tony's on the Boulevard, or they called it Antoine's on the Boulevard. They served you shrimp and toy trucks and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Anybody remember that?
It was before my time.
Antoine's, yes.
What I hear, the memory I get a lot is they serve some kind of cocktail in a hollowed out watermelon.
Exactly.
Yes, they did, yeah. And then what I'm trying to remember is the name of the restaurant that was on top of the old Commerce Bank tower downtown.
Oh,
that is
and
the
every
one.
Every room was a...
That is the one I hope someone would bring up. It was a set of restaurants called the Top of the Tower Restaurants, and it had five, at least when it opened in 1965, it had five themed restaurants.
Right.
And I wonder who here or out there can remember the five.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know the names
of them. I know there was
them.
An Austrian one called, I think, the Something House, and there was...
Was it called Top of the Tower?
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Top of the Tower. But
okay.
What was? But
okay,
that, you're very close, Charles. I looked this up, which is the only reason I can remember. It was a Bavarian restaurant, supposedly, called the Salzburg House.
Salzburg House, yes.
There was a French restaurant. Anybody remember?
I don't remember the name of it.
La Tour Eiffel.
Tour de Jean.
Tour de Jean.
There was also Irish, Italian, and Mongolian restaurant. Mm-hmm. I recall going there once again underage. And sitting in one of those extensions that comes out of the 30th floor, and you could be at a table and look down below and there's nothing below you but air.
Exactly. That's what my memory
Amazing
is.
Amazing place. Closed in 75.
Yeah.
And Le Bon Boucher was a great French restaurant downtown for a while, too.
Well, no, that's Le Bon Auberge, I believe.
I'm sorry. That's what I meant was Le Bon Auberge. Yeah,
but Bon Boucher was a good bakery as well.
Where was that?
Oh, yeah.
That was on the plaza where Coal Vines is.
Yeah.
Yep.
I had many delicious croissants there.
And, you know, fancy French restaurants used to be where you would go to celebrate big occasions. And La Méditerranée was another one.
Yeah.
And those
That's
kind of places just don't exist much anymore.
We all put together a list of the top five restaurants that we went to and wish were still around. And La Méditerranée is on mine. Mm-hmm. What are some of yours, Mary?
Well, I had La Med, Prospect, La Bon Auberge, Fedora's. And one more I would add just because of sentimental reasons. Do you remember the Kona Kai and the Hilton Garden Inn on Main Street? Was where I had my blind date with my now husband. First date.
And still married him.
Still married him.
Oh, the Kona Kai, the stories I could tell.
And Trader Vic's.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, golly, yes. Mm. Robert wrote into us at centralstandard@kcr.org. One of his favorite places was, and this is a restaurant I've never heard of, Frank Wachter's, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, on 12th Street between Walnut and Grand. It looked more like a bar than a restaurant, but it had wonderful German-style food. Any memory of that, Monroe?
No.
Frank Wachter's. Let's go to, this is an old memory. Let's go to Jessica in Overland Park.
Hi. How are you guys? This is so great. My memory is of Joe's Barn.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. It was so great. And they served your drinks in old mason jars.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys remember that.
In Stanley?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stanley, Kansas, which is now just another big intersection.
Right, exactly. It seemed like such a far drive.
It seemed just...
And I also remember there was a restaurant, which I also think was, which I think was on Metcalf, maybe around, I don't even know because I was young, maybe around 80th, where you could throw your peanut shells on the floor.
Oh,
that was a chain, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah, I don't know if it was a chain, but maybe Jack was in it. the word Jack? I can't even remember.
I
just know my parents loved to take us because we could be messy.
It was at 91st and Medcalf.
91st? Okay.
And there was one in St. Louis. Right. The Ground Round.
The Ground Round, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah, I love that place. It was my college hangout in Indianapolis. I threw many a peanut shell and eventually fell on the floor myself. Let's go to Steve and Lawrence. Steve.
Yeah, this is a great show.
Well, tell us where you were.
I wanted to mention that when I was a kid, my dad had a business in Kansas City, Missouri. And in the late 50s, there was a Chinese restaurant, and it was my first Chinese Cantonese food experience, above the Rexall drugstore at 10th and Main, called King Joy Lo's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the fancy Chinese. It was sort of the Bo Ling's of its day, wasn't it, Monroe?
Yeah,
I think it was. I think it was one of the first Chinese restaurants in Kansas City.
Very, very early on, and it extended, I think, in the 1920s and 30s on up to the 50s at least.
Yeah. They had a great view from the windows there over Petticoat Lane, mm-hmm. and I remember going up there as a kid with my dad to have lunch when I'd go down to work with him.
And if I remember, and I wasn't here, and I wasn't even alive, one of the pop reasons people like to go to King Joy Lo is it was right next door to the Paramount Theater.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. It was.
So you could see a movie and have some chow mein.
You remember the House of Toy on the Plaza?
I did. I love their cookies.
I never got to go to the House of Toy.
It was a Saturday ritual.
It's where O'Dowd's is now.
Yeah, it was delicious.
Well, think about all the restaurants on the plaza that we've talked about, independent restaurants, and now there's so few independently owned restaurants
on
the plaza.
A moment of silence for the independent restaurants. Let's go to Maureen in Kansas City, Missouri. Maureen. Maureen, she got tired of waiting, and I can understand, but we are trying to get to you as soon as possible at 816-235-2888. Linda wrote in, she misses the Inn at the Landing at 63rd and Troost. She says they had great steaks. Also, Reagan's Riverboat at Westport and Southwest Boulevard.
Yeah. Anybody know the chicken place on 79th and State Line? Remember the chicken place? It had pink and purple as their colors.
Only you would remember.
I know,
that, yeah.
But I don't know the name of it.
Someone's going to call in at 816-235-2888 to answer Gloria Gill's question, the chicken place.
Stump the studio.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody will know.
Okay, let's go to Gayla. Gayla in Kansas City, Missouri.
Hi, this is Gayla. Thank you for taking my call. I actually just wanted to mention, and I don't know, I came into the conversation a little late, but I also wanted to mention Allegra and Metropolis.
Oh, Cafe Allegra on 39th Street and Metropolis at, I believe, 303 Westport Road.
Yeah, excellent.
Yep, miss those terribly. Mm-hmm.
They were good places.
I agree.
Cafe Allegra was
great.
Allegra
was fabulous.
You know what? There was nothing like Fedora's. I feel like that was our biggest loss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know. It was great.
I took tango lessons there. How weird is that?
Well, thank you for a great show.
Thank you, Gayla. Let's go to Steve in Brookside. Steve, what do you want to tell us about?
That chicken place at 79th and State Line was the Drumstick.
Exactly.
The Drumstick.
Thank you. I can sleep now. It's on the east side. Yeah. It's where McDonald's is now.
Oh, the Drumstick.
Exactly.
All right.
And then does anybody remember the restaurants that Nabil Salah used to own? And then My Brother's Mustache was a sandwich shop in Westport. And then Nabil's on Broadway.
Right.
Annie Santa
first
Fe.
First restaurant I ever worked at.
Yeah.
Oh, did you work for Nabil Saleh?
I did.
Oh, I liked him a lot. Mm-hmm. He was great.
Yeah. Where is he? Does anybody know where he is these days? Or
someplace not in Kansas City. I think in Arizona for some reason. That's coming to mind. But thank you, Steve. Let's go to, is it Valley?
Yes.
Valley, how are you?
Yes, I'm fine. I don't know if you remember Antoine's on the Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great family Italian place. Don Pepe's was a great thing, too, but I really, really missed the catfish from Romanelli's.
I know.
I just don't know where to get that anymore.
Stroud's.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Stroud's comes close. What else would you say?
Jumping Catfish or something up north of the river? I've never been there.
I think Rye has it on their menu.
Fried catfish?
Are
they taking? Are they deboning it at the table?
Well, we don't know that.
But that was just fabulous. But great show. Happy New Year.
Same to you.
Let's go to Larry and Miriam.
Hello. I used to go to a place about 30, 40 years ago downtown for lunch. Sanderson's Lunch.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was around 9th and Walnut.
Yes, yes, it was famous, infamous, actually.
Very good. Yeah. Say, and also, there was a copper kettle in the Plaza Bowl years ago. Does anybody remember that?
No. Uh-uh. Where was the Plaza Bowl?
Right down in the middle of the plaza.
Oh, where Saks Fifth Avenue yes. was.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Right.
You know, I would say, and I think I'm speaking for the majority of people in Kansas City right now when I say that the plaza needs a bowling alley and a roller rink.
And a Woolworths and movie theaters
exactly.
like they used to have.
Let's go to Steve in Independence.
Good morning, Charles.
Good morning, Steve. Oh, is this Steve Knoll?
It is.
Well, you should have something to add to this conversation.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Two of the calls, somebody mentioned the leather bottle, and somebody else mentioned the Inn at the Landing. Well, actually, the Inn at the Landing begat the leather bottle after their success. That was the original Gilbert Robinson restaurant. They later closed it and changed the format a little and reopened it as a leather bottle.
Ah. Now, were you a bartender at the Leather Bottle?
No, I was at Fred Piaf.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. That's still around, isn't it?
And yeah, they're still going strong.
Yeah.
And you were going to also mention the Copper Kettle. Where was that?
The Copper Kettle was actually a chain of family restaurants, almost coffee shops. They all had a counter, but a lot of floor seating. And there were several of them around town. We used to go to the one on 50 Highway by Raytown Road.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm. And I imagine they were not very expensive, right?
No, it really was. It's pretty affordable. It's like cafeteria food served at your table.
Hmm. Steve, do you remember the Forum Cafeteria downtown?
I do. I think I only went there once.
Okay. That was Walt Bodine's favorite restaurant.
Yeah, I think it was on Walnut.
Right.
And the building outlasted the chain by a number of years, and it actually went national. There were a number of them across the country.
Well, we should mention as a trivia note in honor of our friend from the Star, Monroe Dodd, that the man who started the Forum Cafeteria, his first job was as stable boy for
William Rockwell Nelson.
William Rockwell Nelson. What a great way to start! Hey, thank you, Steve.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
And let's go to Susan in Stillwell.
Yes. Hi. Love the show. I grew up in Kansas City area and had a wonderful sister who always introduced me to some great restaurants. And one that I didn't ever get to go to and always wanted to was Baby Doe's. And I was disappointed that it was closed down before I had the chance.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
And my sister always took me to Lucille's down towards Westport, and then Cafe Lulu's was another one we really liked.
Oh, yeah, that's a great one. That was a great one.
I still make the Blue Lou salad at my house. It's the best.
That's great. We, in case Lou Jane Temple is listening, we do have to put a shout-out for Cafe Lulu on 39th Street.
It's one of my favorite restaurants.
Yeah. Yes. Sorry to see it go. Well, thank you so much for this. This is great.
Thank you, Susan. And Gary in Kansas City has a question for us.
Well, right. I have a stump of the panel that I can't that I'm stumping myself on. This is early to mid-1970s at 63rd and Truce. There was a drive-up hamburger joint just south of that bank that's on that corner. I just can't remember the name of it is all.
I want to say it was Allen's or maybe. Wasn't it Allen's?
Well, I knew the Allen's, you know, that was on Independence Avenue, and there was one in Independence, too. But
I thought it was.
It had car hop service, and it was like an Allen's. I don't know if it was.
Maybe
perhaps it was.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. That was your hood, Gloria.
I know, it was my hood.
Yeah, all right. hey, thank you, Gary. And we're coming up to the top of the hour, so let's take a couple more quick calls. Charlene in Kansas City North.
Hi. The restaurants that have been mentioned are mostly in the 60s and 70s, but we remember restaurants in the 40s, especially Breton's on Baltimore, where Gene Glynn and Walt Bodine broadcast from. Was an excellent restaurant, and there was Pusateri's on Baltimore. Mm-hmm. There was Sidney's on the plaza, and there were two of those
right
at that time. One was on Linwood Boulevard. Then someone just mentioned the Forum Cafeteria. There was Bowman's at 15th and Benton before 15th Street was called Truman Road.
Wow. All right.
And there was...
Oh, you were going to mention the Pennant Cafeteria?
The Pennant Cafeteria.
Where was that?
It was on the corner of 12th and Walnut, and it was downstairs. There was a candy shop on the corner, and it was Mrs. Stevens, not Mrs. Stover's. It was Mrs. Stevens.
Hmm. Listen,
I worked there when I was 12 years old. I know that.
My idea of heaven on earth would be a candy shop and a cafeteria in the same building.
But you had to go downstairs to the Pennant Cafeteria.
It'd be okay.
It wasn't as popular as... or as upscale as Byron Green's or Forum, but it was still good wholesome food. Did I mention the Acapulco on Admiral Boulevard?
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
Then they ultimately moved to North Kansas City.
But they didn't make it there either.
No, it's long gone.
All right. Hey, thank you. I want to thank our guests, Monroe Dodd, Mary Block, and Gloria Gale, for joining us this hour.
Great.
To talk about Kansas City history. If you want to know more information about the restaurants we talked about, the archives are at kcr.org. I'm Charles Ferruza. Have a great day.